Does Northern Ireland get more than its fair share of taxpayers' money? Well, that's what some Conservative MPs are suggesting. The Belfast Telegraph at the weekend quoted the Tory MP Anne Meehan saying far less money is spent in my constituency. The commentator David Vance agrees. Morning to you, David.
Morning, Stephen.
So you're saying Northern Ireland's getting too much money. Patrick Mulholland from the Tribune nips his on about this as well. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, you live in Northern Ireland. You breathe in Northern Ireland. Why are we getting too much money, David?
Well, you see, Stephen, it's all about the B word and equality, to borrow a phrase from your programme a few days ago. It's about the Barnett formula and fiscal equality across the UK. And the fact is, every person in Northern Ireland gets £10,876 allocated to them from the Treasury. The figure for English people is £8,529. Is that fair? Consider how people listening right now to the programme, Stephen, would feel if they found out that everyone living in England received 28% more funding than them from the Exchequer. Would they expect their MPs to be quiet about it? No, of course they wouldn't. So those Conservative MPs who raise this inequality are doing exactly the right thing by demanding change.
And but do you agree with them?
I absolutely agree with them. And in fact, as you know, the issue does originate from Barnett. And no less... no less than the architect of the Barnett formula, Lord Barnett himself said that the formula should be scrapped because it's unfair.
It comes back to the argument, Patrick Mulholland, does it? Why on earth should we expect to get more per head here in Northern Ireland than someone living elsewhere in the UK, Patrick? How can we justify it anymore? This special case scenario.
Well, I think, Stephen, it's interesting that this whole issue has moved away from just being the bailiwick of the more cranky right-wing fundamentalists in the economy to it has now been picked up by Tory party MPs. And there is a reason for that. And the fundamental reason is this. Their economic policy has brought the country to its knees rather than improved the country. They are now facing into an election in June, and they are desperately scrambling for ways to appeal to the electorate and appeal to their local electorate. So they're having a go at Scotland primarily, and Northern Ireland's getting caught up in the wave from that. But on the issue of the Barnett formula itself, I think we do have to recognise that if you are working out your economic strategy and you have an economic approach that isn't based on playground economics, it's based on the idea of a modern, advanced capitalist economy based on...
You're still not telling me why we deserve more here than elsewhere in the UK. You're still not telling me why.
What happens when you develop a formula like that is that it tends to try to deal with disparities in different regions and different areas. And it is quite right, David is quite right to talk about Northern Ireland gets £10,876 per head from the Barnett formula. But he doesn't go on to say that there are then variations across England, Scotland and Wales. That this is a formula that creates variations in a whole range of different areas because it deals with a whole range of different issues. And we cannot take it out of the context
all
of
right.
the economy
go on, David.
Overall.
So I wonder when Lord Barnett himself said that he was embarrassed by this so-called formula. Was he wrong, Patrick? Was he wrong to be embarrassed by the formula that you seek to protect? Yes or no?
I think there's a whole range of things that Lord Barnett should have been embarrassed by, and I think that formula would have been one of them. The difficulty, though, is this, David. The Audit Commission looked into this, and what the Audit Commission said was needs assessment can never be perfect or fair. That was their response to the Barnett formula. And in essence, what they were saying was, if we come up with a new formula, there will be disparities in the new formula as well. It is impossible to find an exact way of doing this, an exact measurement, because of the complications of a national economy.
As well, I say, what would happen to Northern Ireland, David Vance? What would happen to Northern Ireland if our money was cut so it was in line with the rest of the UK?
Well, the first thing that would happen, Stephen, is we couldn't have the sort of iniquitous thing that the Belfast Telegraph showed the other last week, where we see public sector workers earning a 40% premium over private sector workers for a start. We would actually see the one thing that the cranky left-wing trade unionists don't want to see, and that is a rebalanced economy where Northern Ireland actually stands on its own two feet. Shock horror.
You would see public services slashed.
Wouldn't that be a good thing? Well, you see, Stephen, it's always about public services being slashed anytime anyone talks about reducing...
David, part of the problem here is if you cut the Barnett formula, it's not just public services that get slashed.
Sorry, I can't even finish my point. I heard a story the other day about a local golf club in receipt of £350,000 from the public funds to improve its facilities under the deprivation fund. Look, of course Northern Ireland could do with substantially less public funds, but it doesn't suit vested interests, it doesn't suit trade unions, and it doesn't suit those who seek to protect a dysfunctional, flawed economy. And that's why Barnett needs to be scrapped.
Go on, Patrick.
And something better put in it.
Well, I think Stephen David's answer reflects the reality of the discussion on the Barnett formula. He's not addressing the issue of the Barnett formula at all. What he means is he wants public service cuts, and he wants cuts.
But when you compare what public service workers are getting compared to those in the private sector, Patrick, how do you justify it?
Well, I think there's quite a few variations. If you look at good private sector employers, there are good wages in the private sector, and there are very, very low wages in the public sector as well. In fact, huge numbers of public sector workers are on very low wages. They are just marginally above the minimum wage. They can by no means be seen as people who are getting special privilege. But on the issue of the Barnett formula, Stephen, I think it is important that your listeners know the Barnett formula means that we have different levels of funding across the public services right across Britain. It's not that Northern Ireland is different from the rest of Britain. There are different levels of funding right across. And
wrong.
Can I just point out the second highest...
Well, how's he wrong?
He's wrong because, as a matter of fact, every person here receives £2,300 more than every person in England. He's fundamentally wrong, Stephen. It's basic economics. I know trade unions aren't good with economics, but this is the economics of the madhouse. He's pretending something that's a fact.
Can I maybe give the figure, Stephen, because I think it does inform the discussion. In Northern Ireland, we get £10,875 per head. In Scotland, £10,152 per head. In Wales, £9,709 per head. In England, £8,529 per head. But within England, there are variations. For instance, London gets £9,435 per head. The point here is the Barnett formula tries to address different issues in different areas. There's not a Northern Ireland amount and then an everybody else amount.
But Lord Barnett said that his formula has failed, Patrick. This is the bit you're struggling with.
I'm not struggling at all. I absolutely agree with you. The Barnett formula is by no means perfect. It should be replaced.
Let me finish. It's not about whether it was...
What do you really mean, David, is you want cuts?
Talking across me. What Lord Barnett said, not that it was, he said that it was, he was embarrassed by it. He understood the thing that you...
You won't address any of the issues of it, David. You keep talking about Lord Barnett being embarrassed. I'm getting embarrassed.
Hold on, I need to be able to hear you. Hold on.
I'd like to be able to finish one sentence, Patrick. The point is that Lord Barnett recognised that which you don't, namely that we need to find a different method to address the sharing of the funds from the taxpayer across the UK. His formula has failed, and all I'm suggesting is that I want to see equality. Now, I would have thought as a trade unionist you would love to hear me fighting for equality. Here I am, and all you can do is harangue me.
Can I reply, Stephen?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the issue of the redistribution of wealth, I agree with you, David. We need to look again at redistribution of wealth in this country. We need to be saying there has to be a change in approach. The rich need to pay their tax. The multinationals need to pay their tax. The politicians need to stop frauding us out of expenses, etc. We need to put money back into the economy, but not only in Northern Ireland, right across all the different regions and including in England. There should be huge amounts of money going to working class communities, going to assist people, and there should be equality. And equality means with dealing with disparity in different areas. What is interesting is that David doesn't deal with the detail of what the Barnett formula actually means. It would almost lead me to believe that some of his economic analysis isn't based on facts.
It means that there are the facts. 28%
are the
more
facts.
Northern Ireland than England.
Formula delivers,
hold on, Patrick. Hold on. You two. I'm not having
different.
You two shouting over each other because it would do my head in. Go ahead, David.
I wasn't shouting.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I'm simply pointing out, and Patrick continues to wriggle around this, we get 28% more per person in Northern Ireland than in England on average. That's the facts. Now, if he thinks that's fair, if he thinks that's the kind of equality he's fighting for, well, good luck to him. But I'm saying that what it means is this country, unfortunately...
The country coming out of conflict. What bit of that don't you understand in terms of us being a special case?
Well, you see, what don't you understand about the fact, Stephen, that I hear in your programme day in, day out from the political class, the need to move on, leave the past behind? The Barnett formula was put together in 1978. It's almost 40 years ago. And all I'm saying is, time to leave the past behind and move forward. Now, which bit of that do you not understand?
Not time to stand up for Northern Ireland? Time to fight for Northern Ireland, no?
Stand up for a rebalanced economy. Stand up against a public sector which is earning 40% more than the private sector. There's lots of things to stand up for, Peter, Stephen. I'm absolutely in favour of all of that.
I wonder why you didn't get elected.
No wonder. Well, but maybe because unlike those at Stormont, Stephen, I'm quite happy to be truthful and happy not to rip off the people of Northern Ireland through expenses or indeed any other thing.
Stab Northern Ireland in the back and say, take away our services.
Pardon?
Stab Northern Ireland in the back and say, take away our extra money, take away our services.
It's not our extra money. It's the taxes, predominantly actually, of the people of the south of England that we're talking about here. And it's a disregard for those taxpayers and an arrogance that coming from certain people in Northern Ireland that needs to be addressed. Why should the south of England taxpayer essentially overfund Northern Ireland? Explain.
Alex in Lisburn, hold on. Alex in Lisburn, good morning. 0845 955 678. If you're picking up the phone this morning, go ahead, Alex.
Yes, Steve. No, I'm just listening to the conversation. But you know, Northern Ireland's not the only place that gets extra money. I mean, the north of England doesn't pay its way; it gets subsidised. I think so. For David Vance to suggest that Northern Ireland's unique in that respect, wrong. But I'd like to ask him this question, and I'm the one for. I don't actually believe the future for Northern Ireland is to drag it down. I think it's to pull us up. He seems to want to drag us down. Getting some sort of grim satisfaction if we're all living in poverty. But what I would say is this here, is you going to cut the wages of people, for instance, police officers, nurses, teachers, people that are paid on a rate that's paid over in England and Wales, comparable rate. Is he going to cut those rates of pay? Because if he is, then why would you be a nurse in Northern Ireland when you go to England and make more money? Why would you be a police officer in Northern Ireland if you can go to England and make more money? That's that. I'd like to know, how is he going to cut the money? Is he going to cut the wages? He talked about public sector pay. A lot of our public sector is paid on a par with England. Is he going to break that parity?
Where do you think the money comes from?
It comes from England, but if you're living in Newcastle, where's the money come from? The north of England.
So they don't
pay their way.
So as a matter of fact, then, if you want to deal with this, I'm quite happy to do so. There are parts of England, like the northeast, for example, where there are areas of greater social deprivation than Northern Ireland. Yet again, those people are disadvantaged by the Barnett formula. So if you want fairness, you have to agree with me that the Barnett formula has to be scrapped. No. If you don't scrap it, what you do is you sustain inequality. Is that what you want?
David, what you're talking about is a race to the bottom. It's a race to the bottom. Instead of trying to build Northern Ireland up
to reality. That's the fact. So many don't like it here. The fact that, my goodness, Northern Ireland should actually have to stop relying on its Sovietized public sector economy. That's all I suggest. You know, Northern Ireland has 77% of her GDP comes from the public sector. In the old Soviet Union, it was 75%. Do you think we've got a problem?
Well, yes. And we should be trying to run. We should be trying to increase the private sector and change the balance. But we won't do that by cutting our budgets. We won't do that by cutting the amount of money we get in. We need money to invest to do that.
Yes, but ask yourself this. That's a fair point you make. But ask yourself this question: if you're a young person, perhaps leaving university and trying to go into employment, do you go into a public sector that pays you 40% more than the private sector? And the answer is, of course you do. Because
the potential for high earnings is in the private sector.
But I'm afraid the public sector in Northern Ireland is 40% greater advantaged than the private sector. And that creates an imbalance which the CBI and many others have flagged up, not me, that says that if we want to get the best of our young people in Northern Ireland, we should encourage them into the private sector. And how can we do that when we have a bloated public sector that pays inordinately large salaries?
Here's Ron in Belfast. Morning, Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning, Stephen. I don't think David's accepting the reality of what we went through here and the fact that this country was effectively at war for 30-odd years. Now, that has entirely disadvantaged this entire country. And, you know, to expect us to manage on the same alliance as England, Scotland and Wales is just not realistic. And the reason we have such a bloated public sector is because for many years the private sector just wouldn't come and invest here.
No, it wasn't that.
Guess what? There was a war.
You know, there wasn't. There was a terrorist campaign conducted by the same people whose proxy sit in Stormont and now lecture us about our economy. So, sorry, I lived through what happened here. I take no lectures. I don't forget. I understand that the IRA and others blew our economy apart. I understand that. One reason I'm not so happy for them to be in government, unlike others. But that said, you can't keep living in the past. You know, there is a structural imbalance and we have to face it. And that means dealing with it, not denying it.
David, we are still nowhere near being out of the morass that was created by the past. And for you to implement this slash and burn policy...
It's not slash and burn, it's about equality. You deny equality.
Hold on a minute. The money that we should have had invested in our public services, guess what? That went on fighting a war. Now, we both have a similar handle on what happened here, but the point is, all the investment that the rest of GB had in terms of its public services and in growing its private sector, guess what? Here that money was largely spent on a military campaign and for rebuilding what was destroyed around us.
And guess what? We're paying our public sector in 2014 40% more in the private sector, and you don't think there's a problem? Seriously?
The problem is, if you take that money out of the economy, then everyone suffers, you know.
But you grow but you don't understand. A public sector doesn't contribute to the economy. The public sector is funded by the private sector.
Hold on, David.
Northern Ireland,
I don't understand, David.
That's
a bit condescending. I don't understand. I'm no economic expert. But if you take that money out of the economy, then everyone suffers. Private sector and all. And if there was no public sector here for years, we would, you know, this place would be a basket case.
Can I remind you that the public sector protects against crime and undertakes a lot of vital public services for this country, David Vance?
Of course,
you know,
it does.
Sometimes
yeah.
When you listen to you, you would wonder what the public sector actually does.
No, I'm afraid, again, I mean, that's a gross caricature of what I say. I mean, and also, Stephen, as you well know, the public sector isn't just nurses and teachers and doctors. There's a lot more to the public sector than that, please. So what I'm saying is that in those other areas, there are many areas across the public sector that could be shrunk back.
But you have said the public sector doesn't contribute to the economy, David, which is complete nonsense.
No, I'll tell you what's a complete nonsense.
So someone out fixing the roads doesn't help to contribute to the economy. It doesn't actually keep transport so that it can actually... You do not think that the public sector in any way contributes to the economy. Now, don't start me this morning. It's nonsense.
Don't you start me. The fact is, you don't understand that the public sector is not self-funding. That's the basics.
That's different.
101.
Sorry, that is different from saying it doesn't contribute to the economy.
Well, it doesn't contribute to... You cannot have a prosperous economy with a grossly bloated public sector, Stephen. It doesn't exist. That's very simple economics. So don't you talk about me getting you started. If you don't understand that, you're going to get me started.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Pardon?
Stephen. I think there's a whole range of points that have come up there, but I think the most fundamental point in this is David is not really advancing a change in the Barnett formula. He's not really discussing that. What he is doing is saying he wants to see a cut in public spending and a cut in public services. He should have the neck to actually say what he means instead of hiding behind this issue. It reminds me a little bit. I keep hearing him talking about equality, and it almost seems to me that what David actually means is to use equality as a Trojan horse to undermine public services. We've heard some of this stuff before. It's not helpful in having a meaningful discussion on the economy. And he needs to really address the issues that the Barnett formula is about and the problems that the Barnett formula does create, rather than myths and rather than having a go at the public services in general.
It's the fact of the matter is, Patrick, and it's quite a disgraceful position to be in. You're sustaining wage apartheid here in Northern Ireland. You're quite happy.
Let's deal with the wages issue, David.
40%
wages issue. The real wages issue in this country is if you're in a unionised workplace, you get a higher wage, whether public or private sector, and that's a good thing. And what it points to is more workplaces need to be unionised, so people get
the
proper wage.
The starvation wages business.
We've had enough of that in this country. We need to move on to a better society.
Here's Damien and Derry. Go on, Damien.
Yeah, hi, Stephen. Yeah, I think David just gave it away there a few months ago with his one sentence that the public sector doesn't contribute to the economy. I think it shows his severe lack of economic understanding.
Okay, Damien, thank you. Jim and Armagh, I'm going to the 10 o'clock news here. Jim and Armagh, very quickly.
Very quickly. Stephen, I don't know much about the Barnett formula, but I would go for the Scottish formula. You ring up England and you tell them, hey, we're quitting this place. And next thing, Cameron lands up with a checkbook and starts waving it about. They've got the wrong taxes now and we need to see him.
All right, Jim, thank you. David and Patrick, thank you. Thank you.